I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 538. I'm probably wrong, but here's what's going to happen. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl Gaming, Tech Gadget, and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi, everybody. Long time no see.
Somebody's back from their excursion.
Yes.
Did you get your groove back after you went to the island?
Island life agrees with me for like,
island life down there. Agrees with everybody.
Not everybody.
No. Like, not everybody.
Not my husband.
The sun, but the life of the island, though, agrees. The laid-backness of it, delicious foodness of it, lots of culture of it, that all agrees with all bodies. Now, the sun, you got to get your SPF right. That's on you.
Yeah. So I would say this. Island life strongly agrees with me for 10 or 11 days.
And then you got to go.
More than that, and then I have to do something else. Because then I think I would lose the magic of the island, and then it would just feel common and normal, and then I'd be like, I need the new thing. No. But if I do this, I would just have it. I would have enough romanticism about it. So that's what I would tell people. If you're going to go to an island, you got to give yourself 7 to 11 days max to get the full experience, depending on the size of the island, too. Like, if it's super small, then maybe 7 days would be enough. But this, so I went to St. Martin, and I feel like I got a really good snapshot of the island, but I still haven't found all the, like, nooks and crannies and all the best things to do. So, like, I definitely would need more days. But I'm glad to be back in the States. There are no Dunks on the island or Starbucks, which made me very sad. I went essentially a whole week with very little coffee, which is very surprising, because then I got the first thing we did when we got back here, our driver, I'm like, can you take me to either a McDonald's or a Dunk's? Because granted, I got in at like midnight because of, you know, security stuff, but we won't go into that. But like the guy, our driver who was waiting for us, and I felt so bad for him because of all of our delays. But I was like, I'm really hungry because they didn't serve us dinner on our plane. I need Dunk's, like a 24-hour Dunk's or McDonald's. And he was like, well, we're going to go buy McDonald's. I'm like, great. Bring us there, please. must have caffeine. Must have this.
That's hysterical. Well, I'm glad that you're back in the States because we can talk game stuff now, because a bunch of things happened while you were gone and away. And I had, like, no one near me that I could talk to about these things. So I've been holding
it. Well, I'm back now, so you could totally talk at me.
All damn week. Like, I've been holding it like a secret. And it's not even a secret because everybody knows. So I'm going to kick the episode off. Don't be surprised, guys. Don't be surprised.
Nope. That's all right. I'm still acclimating back to the States energy and stuff. So you go right ahead.
Okay. So first up on deck, I want to talk about Red Dead Redemption.
Okay.
The new game.
The new one.
While you were gone, sis.
While you were gone, all these games got announced. Yeah. When you were gone. Yeah, yeah. Four of them sucked.
I don't know about that, but
I'm just speculating.
So Red Dead Redemption 2, the announcement came out that the game is being pushed back and will actually release in 2018 now, in March.
Oh.
Now, that's not really surprising. You know, Rockstar tends to put a lot of their games out in the spring corridor, right? So that's not anything new. Some people had a reaction to hearing about the game getting a delay and being pushed back. And as always, when no news of delays comes out, people tend to go straight to the negative first, which I don't necessarily think is fair because, and I point to this example a lot, you look at BioShock Infinite, right? And a lot of people don't remember that initially the game was in a completely different direction than what you ended up getting. And I will argue that BioShock Infinite is probably one of the, at least in the top 10 games, best games of all time category. For its story, its mechanics, the relationship between Anna and Booker. It's a deep game, and I'm glad that they took the time when they were very close to being, or trying to ship a GM, going, actually, this isn't the right direction, and it's not the story that we want to tell. So we're going to take some more time with this. We're going to push our ship date back, and we're going to get this story and these mechanics right. And in playing that game, I feel like the developers and the publishing company were right to push that back. So for me, Red Dead Redemption has to be an excellent experience. Red Dead Redemption 2, I should say. Because Red Dead Redemption 1 was such a great experience.
It was wonderful, yes.
And you really don't want the follow-up to a game that had such great success, was critically acclaimed, and is really, truly a fan favorite, be followed up with a game that is subpar. Because then you'll never hear the end of it. And that can be the end of the franchise. And I don't think...
kill it dead in the water.
That, you know, Rockstar wants to kill this franchise. I think that they have full intentions for this to be a, you know, lifelong franchise for them, much like Grand Theft Auto is.
I mean, when you only have two or, one or two big franchisee games, because, I mean, what could they potentially do?
Bully.
I mean, do not put that inkling of light and hope back into my heart. Okay. Because
I know.
And I would love that. I would love if Rockstar would do Bully. The next Again. Bully.
Yeah.
But very much like The Last Guardian, like, you have to pretend that you don't love it as much so that when you don't hear about it, you don't get sad. So that when you do hear about it, you're like, and then when people talk about it, you're like, yeah, whatever, I don't really care. And then secretly go home and squee about it for 8 hours. But you can't show your hand. You can't show how invested you are. Because then the longer it takes for the water to boil, the more insane you get. So, like, Rockstar, I would love for you to do Bully. If you don't, I'm not going to cry
in front
of you about it.
Oh, in front of them about it. Okay.
I might write some emo poetry.
You're going to write about a lot of emo poetry. Don't lie. You're going to write a lot of emo poetry about it.
I'm going to write a lot of emo poetry. Let's be real. But, like, yeah. You got to hold it close. You can't, you cannot.
I'm just saying, like, if you're like, you know, they only have a couple of big games. I mean, you really only need a couple of big games the way that sales work these days. You only need a couple of strong franchises to keep you afloat. And that allows you to do, you know, your fun projects, your test projects on the side, your Beautiful Joes and the like down the road. But, you know, Red Dead is a kingmaker for a rock star. Grand Theft Auto is the hit that keeps on hitting and keeps everything afloat. You know, because Take-Two used to have a very big stable, a deep stable of games. And you know, hey, Homefront, like, there are a lot of deep, good games there. And then, you know, through sales and acquisitions and reorganization, a lot of eggs started to be put into the Red Dead bag and the Grand Theft Auto bag, and I understand business-wise why, but that means that those games have to absolutely be stellar and be hits when they come out. They can't be okay.
Right.
You know, they can't do okay sales. You know, after Grand Theft Auto 5, Rockstar now can't have an okay Grand Theft Auto game.
No, because an okay Grand Theft Auto game is a shitty Grand Theft Auto game.
Right, and it won't sell well. You know, so it's a tricky place to be because you now have to have a killer game release. So I think that it's smart on their part to say, we're not going to rush this thing to meet the holiday window. We're instead going to meet a spring window, knowing that that's going to probably take us out of, like, award contention. But, again, we don't do it for awards. We do it so that we can sell units and we can continue to introduce more people within the gaming community to our game and to our Ecosphere and have a great game experience. So we're going to continue to sit on this and continue to work on this to get some of those things absolutely perfect, because they're not perfect. And I respect that, because I think more times than not, when a developer takes more time with a game to deliver it, then it is much more warmly received.
Mm-hmm.
And even the critics, as they review the game, tend to review it more for the light of the time that was taken to get it to this point versus the, all right, so here's another one in the holiday corridor and here's what they got wrong. And, you know, if these things don't bug you, then go ahead and buy it. But it bugged us enough that we talked about it. You know, you don't get that kind of sense in those reviews, because I think that everybody appreciates when more time is taken. So I think it's a smart move on Rockstar's part. I think it just means, you know, as a community, we need to be more patient and we need to have the eye on it when we play the game, when it comes out in 2018, that this was really, truly a labor and love and not a forced just money grab. Because there is that feel sometimes when companies announce.
I mean, especially from big AAA houses that, you know that, you know, people are jaded and are, you know, complaining about long wait times. And then they just release something like, oh, I don't know. Some of those Assassin's Creeds, I think, could have taken a little longer in the oven, personally.
And that's why they took longer in the oven this go round.
Right. Sometimes you can wait more and allow the result to show the quality.
While the waiting is the hardest part, sometimes it is the one that is most required.
But I want it right now. I'm a gamer. I want you to take my money.
Wow. That's what gamers sound like. No. That's what some gamers sound like.
That's what some gamers sound like.
And by some gamers, I mean the ones with discretionary funds who still live with their parents.
Right.
Okay. I'm not talking about the ones who have a car payment.
No.
Okay. And a mortgage. And probably kids of their own who want a Switch and they can't find one. So I tip my hat to the team over at Rockstar for taking some more time to get things right. It makes me so much more hopeful about the game when it comes out in March. And I will more than likely definitely pick that one up. I didn't finish Red Dead 1. And the main reason I didn't finish Red Dead 1 was because I did something that I don't normally do. And I went online and I was looking at some of the end game walkthroughs that people are doing. And once I saw the end game, I was like, I can't experience that. And I stopped playing the game.
Bro, you like totally took yourself out of the...
Yeah, I did. I was like, well, I didn't expect that it was going to go that way. So I was really taken aback. And it was like in the third video that I was watching that they like went through the whole ending thing. And I was like, oh, snap diddles.
Yeah. I'm like, they really were like, we have feels for you, but we're going to make you wait for them.
Right. And so I was like not prepared in any way, shape or form. I finished watching it and I was like, I can't actually play that. I can't actually go through that experience. Like, I was okay watching somebody else do it, and it still messed with me. But, like, me controlling the character going through that, like, nope.
Like, I have to hard pass on that.
And I did, and so I didn't finish the game.
Oh, bro.
I absolutely refused to finish the game. And I was like, I could just keep running around. And I did. I started doing like just like all the side quests that I like skipped up to that point.
Like, so
I played a lot of poker and I just like, I can't do this. And so finally I was like, I'm not going to end game this game. So I'm just going to play something else now. And I moved on to, I think I moved on to Mass Effect 3.
Totally. And he lived happily ever after
exactly.
with his family.
Like, in my game, he's still running around the desert, man, with his family. Like, that's how the game ended for me. That's how it ended for me. And I'm okay with that ending. I'm not okay with the other one.
Bro.
So I was like, nope. And also, nope.
I'm going to say nope to this, nope to this, and nope to this.
This is just a whole lot of nope.
That's too funny.
And so I had a happy ending to Red Dead Redemption. Unlike most people that play the game.
Well, here's the thing. So, I mean, in the ending, like, he does
I've done a really good job of not giving it away, by the way.
I mean, he does get...
No. La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
All right. So, granted, I mean, hopefully you've played the first one by now, because if you... Granted, going into Red Redemption 2, which apparently... is a prequel.
Yes.
To Redemption. Is it to Redemption or to Revolver?
That's no. Bad.
Because I thought it was a prequel to Revolver and not. So it's the events right before. Because remember, technically, Red Dead Redemption is a sequel to Revolver.
Right.
So, if Red Redemption 2 is a prequel, wouldn't that necessarily mean that it's a prequel to Revolver and not actually Redemption?
It depends on where it is in the timeline between Revolver and Redemption.
Okay. So, it's like a pre-sequel. So, like,
it could be a sequel to Revolver and a prequel to Redemption.
Prequel to Redemption. All right.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Because, I mean, that would be interesting to see all the events that happened after Revolver that lead to the beginning of Redemption. Yeah. I mean, granted, I don't know why you would call it RDR 2, because that would generally make people think, oh, this is a sequel to Redemption, which is what happened after the ending we don't talk about. How does everything that happened affect him now? Kind of deal. But I mean... I fell in love with Rockstar over Bully. Bully was really my first venture into Rockstar. And then after that, I was like, I want to play the other games. And then I played GTA 3. And then I was like, oh, this is enough. And then 4 came out. And then I was like, what? So, I mean, but I loved Red Dead Redemption. I think Red Dead Redemption was actually my first really big interview for E3. I got behind closed doors. I got to play a full big chunk of the game. I got to talk to some pretty awesome people about its development. I think in my playthrough with them at that E3 so many years ago, I got bucked off my horse because I rid him too hard. And they clearly did not tell me clearly they don't want to tell you what's going to happen. They want to see what you as a player do. It was pretty funny because I think at that point I had never played a game where you had the unpredictability of, you know, the behavior of your mount. Because, you know, I came from WoW. So, like, your mount never bucked you. So, like, I always felt very confident on my animal. Well, not anymore because real life sucks. So does your mom. Just kidding. Your mom's awesome. Ooh, all of your moms are awesome.
Be careful.
But anyway. So, I mean, with Red Redemption 2, like, I'm very... Because I hold it so dear to me. And I did finish Red Redemption. So that ending that you encountered but didn't play through, I in fact played through.
Yeah.
And was like, apparently I'm a masochist and I actually really enjoy being mentally and emotionally scarred and hurt. I mean, I did play all of Heavy Rain and all of that.
And when you say all of Heavy Rain, just to clarify,
I mean all of
folks,
it. I platinumed that game.
Yeah, she platinumed that game, played through, got all 7 endings.
All of them.
I played through once and was emotionally scarred and was like, well, I can never have children.
Well, you were never going to have them before, but now you're like,
no, but I was like, definitely not having children.
You'll never want your kid to have red balloons.
No.
Ever.
Ever.
You'll never want to take them to the mall.
Dude, I find myself, like, whenever I'm at the mall and, like, there are kids with balloons, like, I watch them really hard.
Like, do not go outside.
I'm like... I'm making sure that, like, if you start to wander off, I can be like, yo, your kid, red balloon, right there, he's right there.
You should really know where your kid is.
So, like, I do. I find myself, like, watching them real hard. Like, you don't get separated from your mom. You don't go anywhere you're supposed to. Okay, you're just over there with the ice cream. Like, I'm watching you because your parents are not watching you. Okay, kid, I know where you're at now. So as soon as, like, out of the corner of my eye, I see a parent, like, where's? I'm like, your kid's right there. Your kid's right there. He's right there. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Because we're not having it. Jason! Jason! Nope. We're not having that moment. I'm not going to be, not on my watch. Not on my watch.
You'll be the best babysitter.
Ever. I will drop my kids
off and I'll be like, so this is my son Jeremiah and here's his red balloon. Have fun with auntie.
I'm like, we're going nowhere.
We're staying for the 4 hours.
Let me introduce you to Red Dwarf. Because that's all we're watching. And you're not moving. Unless ever. You have to pee. And I'll be outside the door.
Oh, you're
and there are bars on the windows. Have fun with your balloon.
Have fun with your balloon. No, so I mean, I enjoy the emotional journey of the narrative. Because, I mean,
I do too, but like, there are some lines for me.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. And me, I'm like, I want to feel all the pain.
I'm like, no. No, I don't. It's like,
I'm going to put this fork in this emotional socket and see what happens.
Because you're just nuts like that. Meanwhile, I'm like, oh, that's an emotional socket? I'm not going anywhere near that.
I'll leave that alone.
Yeah. Nope. I get tricked into the emotional socket nowadays. Like, I'll watch something or play something and be like, oh, this seems really cool. And then you get a couple episodes in, I'm like, oh, you fuckers. You snuck those feels in there. Don't you do that. That's not cool. You don't sneak in the feels when I'm expecting a rom-com.
It's like, do not put a picture frame face down and then slowly make me press X to, like, reveal. And then I see a picture of my mom.
That's not cool, guys. Not cool. Not cool.
But I appreciate that stuff. I do. And I mean, I would love to have that bit of the narrative that happened between Revolver leading into Redemption. Because, like, everyone talks about, you know, your protagonist being, like, this really bad guy who did this really bad thing. But then you, in fact, don't do the bad thing. Right. So you don't know how bad it was.
Right.
All you know, he just jaywalked in the main town, like, that one time during a parade. Like, you don't know. Back then, that was, like, some shit. Like, wow, look at this guy thinking he's better than this whole parade. Like, I get that. But, like, I want to know how bad. I want to know where the tilt is. Like, I want to see his morality scale come into question and see him make the logical decision to do X that leads to all the other shit.
Well, and that's the thing. Because I can play that game because I know it's not going to end.
Well, it's going to end where you've already started.
Right.
So you're like, I already know what's bad. Right.
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 Like, you already know, like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is what led to this.
So the worst thing is, I'm going to do the bad thing.
Right.
So I'm okay with that. Because I'm going to do the bad thing, and I'm going to walk away from it.
But what if? Because, like, here's the thing. Here's the thing about this. So, like, when you start filling in holes in, you know, in, like, a franchise narrative like this, like, you can get kind of pigeonholed because you're like, okay, so you know the ending of the game has to be that thing that leads into Redemption 1. Like, you get that. Like, you already have your ending because you kind of already are alluding to that. You get that. But what are all the other things that lead up to that moment? Like, that's the character development. Like, these are the games that really flesh out your universe, really give more depth to your characters that you encounter, you know, really make players feel more immersed in the whole world that you are creating. Right? So it's like, oh man, I cannot wait to see all the things that lead up to him going, you know what? I'm gonna do this thing. And I know it's a wrong thing, but I'm gonna do it anyway. You know, hell or be damned. And then you see the fallout and you appreciate the fallout and his redemption arc in Red Dead Redemption. Like, I am, like, I wish sometimes games could be books, or like, after you played a game, like, I wish I had a magical power where I could turn a video game into a book, because all those rich, nuancey things that, you know, you get from books that you don't, I'm not saying you don't get them in video games, but you know, most people always make the comparison between movies and books that the books are better because you yourself can develop, you know, like it becomes your own personal thing. Like your story looks different.
Not only that, but I think that for a lot of people, their imagination is always much more creative than what you can actually accomplish with visual effects and things like that, right? Because the way that you see someone when they're described to you is different than somebody else, right? Like, if you close your eyes and I say, okay, imagine someone in their 30s with dark hair and light freckles on their cheek that is very much into, or that you think would be very much into comic books.
That's me.
The way that you picture that person in your mind is different than the way that I'm going to picture that person, is different than somebody who's, you know, 3 years older than me and lives in a more urban area is going to pick. Like, we all have our things that we flavor, right? When you start to do that. So I think that's a lot of times why the book is better, or a lot of people are like, the book is better, because books are also longer, right? When you look at most mediums, unless you're doing like an episodic TV type thing, you have a short window to tell a very long story when you're taking a book to movie form. You know, at max, maybe you've got 3 hours. And even at that, it better be fucking amazing, those 3 hours, to tell a book story. Where, and more times than not, when you're completing a book, you're probably doing that over the course of like 6 hours, right? So you can take more time to languish on a detail. You can read a paragraph. And I know for me, especially when I'm reading, you know, fictional type things, I do. I stop and I try to imagine things in my head and imagine the conversation and imagine the people and the stuff that's not said that's said with body language. You know, I create those movies in my head as I'm reading a book. So it's hard to 100% deliver a book experience to the masses when the masses have a different experience individually with the book and what they read, if they read the book. And that's not even counting all the times where you like skip a bunch of details in the book, or like condense a bunch of people into one person in the interest of time.
You know? I strongly dislike when they do that.
I fucking hate when they do that. All right, but we got to move on because we got a couple other things to talk about that I'm throwing on the table. And the next one I'm going to throw on the table, I don't even think that you were aware of, but it's one that I'm like going back and forth of in my mind. So were you familiar with Beam, Microsoft's streaming platform? Okay, so Microsoft bought this streaming platform called Beam. And the thing that was interesting about Beam, which it was trying to really be a competitor in a different way, you know, not necessarily like a head-on, I'm going to take your business competitor, to Twitch and to, like, YouTube streaming. So it is a streaming platform that allows the user, the Beamer, to customize the experience. And they had very, very aggressive mods on the Beam channels. So their big thing was that they wanted to create a safe space for anybody and everybody to stream. So you didn't have to worry about trolls coming in and taking things over, because the mods would shut them down. Unlike some of the other channels, you know, part of the reason why we've stayed off of Twitch real heavy as us streaming is because, you know, the Twitch community, unless you're, you know, a bombshell-looking type chick streaming, you're going to have trolls in your chat if you turn chat on. And if you're not going to have a chat, why you're streaming on Twitch, I don't understand. Because that was their whole big thing of, you can interact with your audience. But if the audience coming through, you know, is going to be rude and, you know, not there to be part of the gaming experience, why be there, right?
Right.
And so, you know, we did a couple of early tests and determined, yep, this isn't the place for us, which is why we're not on Twitch heavy. We started the channel, but ultimately, that was not the space for us. So we went back and forth trying to figure out, you know, where we would stream. And, you know, the YouTube thing ultimately was going to be very similar. So it was like six of one, half a dozen of another, right? We would be able to do more revenue stuff, but we'd still have to deal with trolls. because as much as I love the gaming community,
I think there's trolls in everything.
There's trolls in everything. For me, at least, it's no fun when the racist ones come out and be like, hey, you're fat as fuck, and you don't know anything about games, get in the kitchen, make me a sandwich. And I'm like, no. If I go in the kitchen and make a sandwich, I'm going to eat that shit because I made that shit. And also,
I read recently with that same, you know, that same very stale, you know, go in the kitchen and make me a sandwich. And literally this girl is like playing a game and a guy says it to her and she's like, oh, not again. And she gets up and she goes to the bath. She goes to the kitchen and she starts like summoning power from her hands. And literally he's like playing like you don't know where he is, obviously. And all of a sudden he himself turns into a sandwich next to the controller. And then she comes back. She's like, he's the fifth guy today who wanted to be a sandwich. I don't get it. And goes about her day. So it's just like.
Right. But I was interested in Beam when it was first announced because of how, you know, heavy-handed their mods were. And I watched a couple of people who were streaming on Beam, and I found it really interesting. It's also an interesting way that hosts can monetize their channel. You can basically create an interface where people can earn credits by doing actions, you know, participating in chats and not being a douche. You get a certain amount of credits for watching a certain amount of streams and things like that. And then you can use those credits to purchase things from streamers. So, like, we could set up a board and say, okay, for a certain amount of these credits that you spend, we'll do this action, like, on the stream. So, like, if you spend 30 of these credits, we'll, you know, say your username on the stream and be like, hey, thanks so much for hitting up that perk or hitting this perk or whatever. Or, you know, we'll let you pick the game that we stream next or things like that. So it's interesting because you can create new and different ways to have people engage and be interactive with your stream and have the additional moderation. So I was kind of interested in it, and I was just doing some more research to determine, you know, this might be the way that we get into streaming, because the mod stuff really interested me.
Okay.
So, as I was doing my research earlier this week, Microsoft made an announcement that they were rebranding Beam, because to be a Beam Pro streamer that allows you to do the customized interaction board and all that kind of stuff, it's like $10 a month. And I was like, You know, putting out some more cost out there, but, you know, if it'd be something that you and I could use really well, then I would do it. And, you know, we'd always had, like, tried to figure out, like, how we would get our schedules together so that we could be in the same space to stream together, because that's a difficulty that we have. Because we got, like, grown-up life stuff.
But yeah, no, adulting sometimes sucks.
They rebranded Beam, and it's now called Mixer. And they make the X using a less than and greater than and less than symbol. So it's kind of weird. So it's M-I greater than less than E-R to be Mixer as the streaming platform. And I didn't kind of get that at first, and I was like, Microsoft, you just need to hire me, because obviously I need to help you guys with your branding, because this doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't know that I want to be a Mixer. I'm like, I was just coming around to being a Beamer, because at least I'm like, I'm beaming my stream to you. Like, I get that, but like, I'm not a
but
DJ.
A Mixer?
This is
like,
I'm not a KitchenAid. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, but it also would be like a Mixer, like a social Mixer.
Right.
Like, bringing people together.
Stretch, though, right?
It is a little bit, but.
But I'm like, okay, all right, fine. And they kept the colors, the blue and the purple, but they announced some new features. And the additional features I'm very interested in, because one of the features allows you to bring in another Mixer's feed to your board. So you basically can have four different Mixer's feeds.
All streaming is
from the
together?
Same board. Yeah. So like, okay. You could be at your house streaming a game, I can be at my house streaming a game, and we can put those both up.
Now that is really
in one board
really
with a
cool
combined chat.
Now, and here's where my mind went the minute that you brought that together. So there are a lot of, you know, like 4v1 or 3v1 games now. Like, I know there's one out there that's like dead by daylight, mm-hmm. which I think is still like they're still doing some tweaky stuff to it, but like pretty much take a classic horror movie. You've got three or four survivors and a murderer, and the murderers have special abilities that obviously the teenagers do not. And you have to, I think right now the maps are generally like a field, like a farm field, like an abandoned like complex. And there are these generators that you have to turn on. So like, I guess you get I think you get teleported to like some parallel kind of dimension that's scary as fuck. Cause you know, can't be at home and have shit happen. You gotta be put somewhere.
Yeah, always out and about.
And the serial killers all have special range of attacks. And I think in Dead by Daylight, the killer is in first person where everybody else is in three. So, like, they play around with your perception a little bit, depending on who you are. And the killer has to get all of the, obviously, all the teenagers and has to put them on these spikes to, like, open the portal to hell and suck their souls down. Or the teenagers have to, I think, open or get four generators running to open up the portal that brings them back to their realm or whatever. And I've seen Markiplier and Jacksepticeye play a little bit of it. I've seen a couple of other people take a stab at it. And I mean, I like, for someone who doesn't often play horror games, but then will throw herself into one and then terrify herself, like this was a great way to see this game because, I mean, there was a lot of hype about it with not a lot of visuals, and then they kind of dropped it. And I mean, that would be the type of game that I think, like, Bemixer, whatever it's called, would be great because, I mean, when Jacksepticeye and Markiplier played it, like, you never know, you clearly didn't know which one they were going to be until they loaded up, but you didn't get to see all the other people because I think they also played with Wade and, like, and Markiplier's other friend who's, like, now a lawyer and married and stuff. And it would have been nice to be able to see all, like, the whole scheme of the game with all the players doing different things and being able to see that as opposed to one versus the other because you were missing out on some of the funny stuff. Like with Markiplier, because he was, you know, in one play, he was just one of the teenagers. So you saw what he was doing, but you didn't see all the interactions with the killer because I don't think the killer ever went after Markiplier. Mm-hmm. So like you kind of miss some of the nuances of the game because you're not seeing all of it at once. Whereas at least in this type of with this type of service, you would actually get to see the whole game, get the whole story of like the, you know, the session that you're playing or whatever. Right. So like that would be
and
really
because cool. It's a single unified chat, you know, you could have people that are in the chat that are like trying to help the murderer or help the teenagers or giving misinformation. And, you know, if you feed into what people are saying, you might be successful or not. So it adds another dimension. You know, I can also see where if you're teaming up and in a game like Overwatch and you have a bunch of streamers that want to stream together, you'll be able to get, you know, more of the party view of what's happening and not just, you know, the one single player's view of what's happening. So that could be very interesting. But also, you don't necessarily have to be playing the same game. So, like, we could, for instance, decide, okay, we're both going to play, like, our favorite fighting game right now side by side. And for me, that might be Injustice 2. And for you, that might be Mortal Kombat X. And how we play.
Really?
I'm just.
Really?
I'm saying. And it's because you still have my copy of Mortal Kombat X. I'm just throwing it out there as an example.
Like, Samurai Showdown. For
well, duh. But it would have to be the actual my God. Genesis version and not that reboot piece of shit.
I know. Don't even.
Okay, so anyway. But I'm just
saying. My heart bleeds for Samurai Showdown. Like, it bleeds. It bleeds for it.
So, anyway, this is what I'm saying. I just think that that would be super cool as an option. So, I'm leaning more towards actually going the pro route with Mixer and streaming through that platform. And there's a bunch of stuff that, you know, I'd need to check into and things like that. But I do think that that would probably be a better platform just because of the multi-streamer angle. Because that solves one of our biggest problems, which is getting together in a physical space to do it.
Or, I mean, depending on what this the service allowed you to stream from, you could be playing Zelda and I could be commenting on, like, obviously watching what you're doing or, like, be playing my Zelda. Mm-hmm. And, like, we could be parallelly be running the same thing so I could be showing you what you need to do. Or not, because sometimes I'm a dick. But, but that would also, that'd be a great way you know, for even like bigger YouTubers to like, you know, do like a random like, oh, like if you do a sweepstakes or a contest or whatever, it's like I'll play something alongside you, and like it would be this big community building thing. Like it could be a really cool thing.
Right.
There's a lot of potential here.
And that's, you know, something that natively things like Twitch and YouTube don't allow. You know, you typically have to go through something like OBS or XSplit or something like that in order to bring in other feeds. And that's a lot of extra work and knowledge and learning that people have to do. And so, you know, having this be something that's built into a platform to allow you to do, you know, opens it up for a lot more people to get into it. So I'm interested to see how Mixer continues to grow. We will probably end up on Mixer, in all honesty. Kind of looking forward to it. So if you guys have any thoughts about Mixer or are, you know, we're Beamers and are now Mixers, definitely hit us up on our social and let us know, you know, the ins and outs and if you think there's value for us to be there. But I think that that's probably the space that we're going to go to next to start streaming stuff. And not just because I really want to stream Injustice 2, but I really do want to stream Injustice 2. And mostly I want to make you play Injustice 2 with me.
There's so many things you want to make me do.
But you were out of the country and now you're back. So now I get to make you do stuff with me.
That's true. I am back now.
Yep. So now you got to do stuff. At least while I'm on this coast, because I do have some travel coming up. So when I'm not here, that's when you get free time. So take full advantage of it, because when I come back, I'm dominating all of your time. Like, almost all of your time. So
most of my time.
Most of your time. It's what happens when you leave me for a week, and I have nobody to gossip with. So now
I'm sorry.
I'm taking all your time. So last but not least, because, you know, I got to keep it all about the games and game announcements.
Right.
Ubisoft, right before Memorial Day weekend, makes an announcement. Did you hear about this?
No.
Far Cry 5 has been announced.
Okay.
Far Cry 5 is going to be the first Far Cry game, definitively, to take place in the U.S., because I don't believe that Primal was in what would be considered America. Pretty sure it was Pangea at that point. But 26th, they announce it. It's going to be on PlayStation 4 Pro, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, including Scorpio, and Windows PC.
Okay.
It is going to be released at the end of February 2018, so another 2018 game. So it's not a holiday game. It's set in a fictional city called Hope County in Montana, where you as the player will end up in the city that's kind of been the focal point of a coup by a religious cult.
Okay.
They're kind of a end of world, apocalypse is nigh type cult. And so they've basically been trying to like destroy the entire country and get to their doomsday revelation. So the city is cut off from the rest of the world, and you basically join up with resistance fighters to try and take down the cult.
Hmm. All right. So it's got like an Outlasty 2 feel, but also Far Cry-y. So wait, all which this is happening in but isn't it? Didn't you? And it's Montana. Taking place. Oh, great! So let's instill fear into our country.
Yeah, Hope County, Montana. So if you saw the key art that was released with the announcement, it was this kind of young, sort of hipster-looking dude in a suit, basically a visual that kind of reminded you of like The Last Supper, but there was like decapitated. I think it's a wolf's head on one end, and like some Duck Dynasty reject looking dudes, and, you know, just guns everywhere. And he's all calm in the chaos that is going on all around him, welcoming you over a flag that is basically used as a tablecloth for his plate. And you're just like, okay, so it's you before country and really God. You must think you're a god. Oh, so it reminded me of Far Cry. What was the one with the insanity dude? Was that 3?
Yes.
Yeah.
think it was three.
It very much reminds me of that, right? So you've got, instead of this gang that's controlling this area, you have a religious cult with an eccentric leader. And obviously I'm going to have to take out the leader to do it. Yeah, so it's very much reminds me of, and it feels much like Far Cry returning to their 3 and 4 roots, as opposed to what they did with Primal, which is fine by me.
Sure.
There's already some people that are a little up in arms about it. You know, because like at this time of all times, you're releasing a game that's, you know, about religious cults bringing about the end of America.
I mean, right.
And I'm like, well, marketing-wise, actually, there's no better time to come out with that game. But I thought it was most interesting, wasn't necessarily, like, the subject of the game, but the timing of the announcement.
Okay, well, tell me more about that, then.
So, we're 2 weeks away from E3.
Really, right.
Like, beginning on June 10th. This is a big franchise game for Ubisoft. If they're announcing this game this early before E3...
What are they bringing to E3?
Then what are the big cards that they think they're bringing to E3?
That makes sense, yeah. Because, yeah, this is like one of their big names. So if this isn't the thing they're bringing...
It's one of their tentpole franchises, right? Like Assassins, Far Cry, Rabbids. Just Dance. Those are their big tentpole franchises.
I mean, we're totally going to see
them. They've got the Trackmania things, and then they've got the one-off things. You know, you've got the Return of the South Park game. But, like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, you're announcing your big tent pole before E3. One of your big tent poles. Typically, most places do, like, an hour, sometimes an hour 20 press conference on the conference days, right?
Right.
He typically does, like, an hour. Sometimes they run over and they're at $110. But they usually do an hour to go through their three big tent poles and then, like, a quick flurry of, you know, the smaller games that, you know, have recognition. The Trackmania stuff, the Star Trek experience, you know, those kinds of things. So my brain just goes, okay, if you've taken this guy out of tentpole contention, because it's not a surprise, because usually with their tentpoles, they try to surprise, right?
Right.
So, of course, they're going to devote some time to probably showing off some gameplay for the new Far Cry 5, but it's not a tentpole surprise. So what the shit is going to be your tentpole surprise? It's not going to be the South Park game, because we know about the South Park game. It's not going to be Just Dance, because we know you're going to do another Just Dance game, because those things just make money.
Right.
I know you have to come with an Assassin's game, because it's just been so damn long since we've actually had a new Assassin's game, and the movie didn't do
it. And we totally know that you're going to talk about some new advancement with Rabbids. So...
Right. Well,
these are all the no's.
But here's the thing. They already made like a Rabbids announcement, because Nintendo and Ubi made the announcement about the Mario X Rabbids game.
Right. So maybe they'll show a little bit more of that if they have anything
to show. But again, that's now not a surprise tentpole. So I'm like, so what the shit is the surprise tentpole?
Because I mean, I would not go to E3
We had Rainbow Six Siege release.
Right.
And that was the big guy. Okay. 2 years before that. Last year it was Ghost Recon Wildlands, which was a surprise tentpole, and Fractured Butthole, surprise. So, like, what the hell is the surprise? Ubi?
Maybe they're going to give everybody hot dogs.
I'm just going to
float... That aren't $11.
I'm just going to float something out there, and this is just me with hypothesis, and I'm probably completely 100% wrong. But...
Okay.
Didn't Ubisoft do the Prince of Persia games?
It's been forever.
Right? It's been a while. And we've all forgotten the Jake Gyllenhaal movie by now.
The what?
Exactly. But, like, if you look at who's been having a lot of success lately, it's been Bethesda bringing back to life and rebooting some of our oldies but our faves.
Yeah.
Okay. Doom did fucking fantastically. Prey has done really, really well. Look, you can talk about it, okay, but the game that was released versus the demo are two different games.
Okay.
Because Prey the game actually is pretty decent. And it's an interesting little story that they've put together there.
Also, yeah. I love that you can either be a boy or a girl, but your name is still Morgan because it's unisex.
Yes.
Your brother's an asshole. Spoilers. Just saying. Okay. Without giving too much away, which I mean, if you play the demo, you kind of got the whiff that, you know, something was rotten in Denmark. But yeah, your brother's an asshole.
Have you played it?
So I played the demo. We bought the game before we went away.
Yep.
So we are going to, him and I are going to play it together. But I mean, I from the demo, I just got a really bad, like, I think as we were playing the demo, I'm like,
the game is different than the demo. So the thing
I know
fucked up in the demo.
Right. And I'm not talking about UI. I'm talking about the hints of narrative that they have to give you in that demo.
No,
and
as far as that goes, that didn't change. Yeah, Alex Hugh is a dick.
Yeah.
Alex Hugh is a dick.
Yep.
But he's a dick for a reason.
I hope if you're going to be a dick.
No. I'm telling you right now, he's a dick for a reason. But you got to get all the way to the fucking end, though. Before you realize he's a dick for a reason.
All right. There's a validity to his dickitude.
There is validity to his dickitude.
All right.
It's an interesting twist.
Of course. M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong. Start looking at games if you want to understand how twists work.
Yeah.
Granted, Split was amazing.
It's a straight up M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong twist.
Split was amazing. I will say that.
So
I watched Split.
But Prey's reboot did really well. The Doom reboot did really well. I'm sure that Quake, when we see it at E3, is going to look unfucking believably awesome. Right? So there's, if you put in the time and the effort, rebooting a oldie but goodie game could work, right? Bethesda has proved it hand over dollars fist-wise, right? So I'm thinking, okay, if Yubi is already flighting Far Cry out this early, they've already made the Mario x Rabbids announcement, which to me, that would have been like a big, like, what? Mario and Rabbids? I don't even like either of those guys, but that's like a big deal. Like, big deal type guy. My brain goes, okay, they've already done that. Just Dance isn't going to be... There's nothing I can imagine that they would do to that platform or that game to change it, to make it a surprise. Oh my god, I have to do that. Same thing with Trackmania. So, and they can't just be relying on this new Assassin's Creed game to be that surprise, because guess what? We're not going to be surprised about a new Assassin game from UB, right?
Right.
We knew that they took the year off. They said we're going to take a year off because there's some things that we need to kind of retool and refigure out about the game. Plus, we got the movie coming out, so that'll keep you satiated till we have this, like, done. So, we all knew that there was an Assassin's game coming this year. The announcement was happening at this E3. We all know that. We just aren't 100% sure on what the details are, although if leaks are to be believed, we kind of already do, right? So then what's the surprise? And so my brain went, okay, well, do they have, like, anything in their back pocket that they could whip out a la Doom for Bethesda? And I started looking at my game catalog, and I was like, wait, didn't they do the Prince of Persia games? Like, I recall, like, the last two games that I had, like, had the Yubi thing. Well, wouldn't this be a great time to reboot Prince of Persia? Because Prince of Persia was a great platformer, okay? It suffered through a couple of not great directions in games, but it was a solid, solid platformer. I liked the time mechanic, and the character of the prince was cool. You empathized with him. So that's where I'm kind of putting my hunch now, is that they're going to surprise everybody with a new Prince of Persia game. That you're going to get a fucking demo video, and you're not going to know exactly what it is. We're all going to think that it's the Assassin's game, and actually it's going to be this new Prince of Persia. That's my guess.
All right.
Because Yubi likes to come with, like, a surprise every damn time. And so that's what I'm guessing their surprise is going to be. I could be completely wrong, and maybe they're not playing that game. And it is just going to be, you know, some more Clancy stuff and an Assassin's game. And more playable from Fractured Butthole with its ship date, and they're going to call it a day, which would be a fairly strong, you know, showing. But I don't know. My gut says that they're gonna come with a surprise, and that's the one that I came up with.
Hmm. Wow, a lot did happen while I was away.
Yeah, right? Like, and it was like, oh,
Hannah's not here. Let's announce all the things. Go!
All the things!
She doesn't have Wi-Fi at her hotel. Now!
Go! Do! Now! That's a thing. And then, obviously, you know, you've got, like, all these outlying games that we knew about that, you know, will probably get their definitive ship dates. You know, games like Lawbreakers and Paragon and, you know, all those stuff. All those games that look absolutely stunning. Some of which we went hands-on with at PAX East this last year. I'm really trying to nail down, like, what the surprises are going to be. I really hope that the Project Scorpio new box from Xbox does not get a weird name and does not get
Scorpio.
And look, if they wanted to just call it Scorpio, I'm okay with that, actually, because I'm still trying to accept Mixer as a name because it's just so bland to me. So, like, I don't want, you know, a
Xbox One Pro. What would you name it then?
I don't want it to be like an Xbox One Pro. I don't want it, you know, you already have the Xbox One S. Like, I don't want it to be the One S Plus. Like, that just, because then I'm like, seriously, guys, going to use Apple's naming scheme that they use for their phones for your boxes. So, like, I don't know what you call it, like, right off the bat. Like, you know, having the Xbox One and then having the Xbox One S, to me, that is also kind of a little silly. So, I don't know if you don't call it the Xbox 2. I would just call it, you know, the Xbox 4K. Because that's really what the box is designed for. While the S can support 4K resolutions, like,
it wasn't
box,
really built to...
Well, it kind of was. It was built to support current 4K, not future-looking.
Okay.
It really was just, you know, designed to power 4K TVs and let you have a upscale 4K experience. And, you know, it was an interim box. And I feel like this box really is their 4K box. So I would just call it the Xbox 4K. And then you have an X4K box. You know what I mean? Because we all bastardize the name down to our abbreviations for it. I call this series the X-Bone.
Right.
I think you do too.
Yes.
You know, so like X4K just simplifies it for me. And it just doesn't feel silly because it's just like, this is what it is. It's a 4K Xbox. It'll push 4K games, easy, no problem. It'll support your 4K TV resolution, no problem. And it's for the future. Like, if you want to put in a corny line, boom, there you go. But that's just me. I don't know if they'll do it or not, but that's, like, my thought. So, but I really want the box to be similar in price to the launch price for the original X-Bone. So that people who are on the fence about getting a console are not going to be like, yep, there we go, there's the console, that's the one. And do it. Because if that sucker is priced the same way as my original Xbox One, I'm pre-ordering right then and there.
Take my money. My money before I even made it.
Yep. I haven't made this money yet, but that's why it's called a credit card. I'm buying it on credit. Oh, my name's not that good.
You can trust me.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to make an extra payment and then I'm going to put it on credit. But I will. Like, I will trade in my old Wii and my One, I will definitely get a Scorpio box, which means I'm really going to have to be putting my pennies aside for my 4K TV, which my husband has already figured out the mounting system that he wants to take my current living room TV and turn it into his office monitor. I was like, damn, babe, I ain't even, like, really 100% committed to buying this TV yet. You already got a stand for this new one. He's like, oh, yeah, and I figured out, like, where I'm going to sit to watch movies on your side of the office. And I got a standing desk picked out. And I was like, damn!
So, I mean, it kind of sounds like you already have it.
So, I mean,
he's already envisioned it.
I mean, the space has been envisioned. I was like, well, shit, I guess I'm going to have to do it now. Well, damn.
You were going to do it.
Well, I mean, eventually, yeah. Because, yeah, I was going into, like, my research phase. Like, I usually take a couple months to research, like, what's on the market? What are the going rates? Like, what are their differentiating features? Okay, cool. Now, here's what I can expect around holiday, because that's when all these prices are going to drop, because everybody's going to be trying to move in these TVs. So that's where I'll be able to get, like, the TVs that are, like, $1,600 now for, like, $800. See, that's what you got to do. You got to do your reconnaissance. So, like, I was, like, talking reconnaissance to theorize what could, like, be possible maybe. This motherfucker already done rearranged the office, bought a new desk, got a fucking vest amount. I was like, well, shit, do you even know where the studs are? And he's like, yep. I'm like, well, damn. You do reconnaissance faster than me. So at
good on
point,
him.
I mean, but it's true. Like, when, if the Scorpio box is really and truly as powerful as it looks like it's going to be, I will be trading in my systems and I will get one. I know that the Scorpio box will work fine on my existing TV, but it would be better hooked up to a 4K TV. And I will more than likely get a 4K TV, you know, because I definitely am doing much more entertainment in the home as opposed to outside of the home. So, you know, having a cool space to vividly watch movies and, you know, streaming TV, which is what I do, is important. You know, because I watch a lot of Hulu and a lot of HBO Now and Netflix and CBS. Like, those are the big thing. And YouTube. I watch YouTube a lot on my TV, so having a amazeballs entertainment center is important. So at some point, I will have a 4K TV that will more than likely be hooked up to a Scorpio box, as long as the Scorpio box is priced reasonably. Like, if they come out and that sucker's $799, I'm not getting one.
Okay, but what if it's $500?
If it's $499?
Yeah.
If it has a terabyte internal drive?
What if it's $525?
Nah.
What if it's $510 with a discount? I mean,
well, no, it would be $510 if it was $499 with taxes. No, like, if it's a $499 box, I'll consider it. If it's more than $499, it's probably gonna be a year.
Payment plan.
Ninja Sister used payment plan. It's super effective.
Effective. Like, how many months will you allow me to pay on this?
Just add it to all the other things I got payment plans for. So a lot of news, a lot of things popped up whilst you were away, sis. So hopefully I've caught you up.
Yeah, I feel very informed now.
Okay, great, fantastic, because you need to be informed.
And that's the show.
It is. But I'm bumped. Remember how I said I was going to lead off the show as opposed to be the show? Yeah, I was the show. But I had a lot of good stuff to bring to the table. That you didn't know about.
That I completely did not know about.
And now you know.
Because no one talks about games when you want an island because they're just handing you rum all the time.
I mean, that's not a bad way to be, though. Like, if you're not going to talk about games, you should be talking about rum.
Hey. Welcome to the island. Here's some rum punch. Hey, you're breathing. Have some rum punch. Oh, are you going to sit down? Have some rum punch. It's like, damn. Know, it was right? Great.
All right. So if you enjoyed the show, which I hope you did, then make sure that you subscribe to our podcast. You can get it on our site, electricsisterhood.com. We have links right on the homepage so you can subscribe in iTunes or just grab the feed and put it into any feed reader of your choice. You can also get our podcast in iTunes, either on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device. You can also check out our news and reviews on our site, as well as in the Apple News app on your iOS device. Just search for Electric Sisterhood and add us to your favorites. And that way, when we put out new news and reviews on the platform, you can check it out. Definitely be sure to bookmark our site because we update it constantly. And it's just a way to show us that you love us and also to verify with every credentialing body out on the planet that there are actually people who consume our content. So it would be a huge favor to us if you bookmark us, check out our site every day, just to, like, remind people that, yeah, we're popular. So there's that. If you enjoy all the things that we're doing, you definitely want to check out all the other team members. We're all on social. We all have sites from our main social, which is Land of Esh on Facebook, so facebook.com/Land of Esh, and on Twitter at ESH News, same on Instagram at ESH News. You can also hit up King Baby Duck's site, b3crew.com. Great bunch of content happening over there with all of the dudes that make up B3. It's absolutely hysterical. Great stuff. All indie games, anime, manga, you name it. They're covering it with his weekly podcast, No Borders, No Race. Definitely bookmark the site, b3crew.com. Check it out. His podcast is also available in iTunes. You can check out on Wednesdays live streams every week, Wednesday at 9 Eastern. Hammersman 2049, smashrook.com. Playing old and new games. Everything from Shovel Knight to Zombies Ate My Neighbors and back up to things like Outlast 2 is an absolute joy to watch Ben Hamsterman 2049 play games on Wednesday night. So be part of the live stream, be part of chat, check out some interesting games being played. Then we come to my heart of hearts, Phil the Issues Guy, with Phil's recap and review on YouTube. Definitely subscribe to his channel. Absolutely phenomenally hilarious recap shows. Everything.
Congratulate him on his very new marriage.
Yes.
He recently got married.
On his nuptials.
Welcome to married life. Yay.
Adulting level expert. You're now doing it. But definitely check out Phil's recap and review on YouTube. Subscribe, be part of chat live. It's absolutely, absolutely a hysterical time. You will laugh your ass off no matter what he's covering. And the website is issuesprogram.com. Last but not least, our homies over at nerdcrave.com, keeping you up to date with all the stuff that nerds crave, from comic books to anime, manga, video games, and more. If it's nerdy in any way, they are talking about it at nerdcrave.com, so make sure that you check them out as well. With that, I've done all the business. I've told you about all the sites, all the things that we're up to. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time, folks,
stay classy.
Titties.